Amen. Thank you very much. As we continue our time of worship this morning, we want to ask our children to come forward for our children's moment. Now, there's nothing in the bag because nobody took it home, but I trust that somebody will grab this bag on their way out and they will fill it with something cool. Probably someone a little taller than y'all, all right? All right. So today, do y'all notice anything different about the nativity up here today? Well, yeah, they're the communion elements. Do you notice any different people? The wise men are here, right? The wise guys, the magi have come. Now, I want to ask y'all a question. How many wise men came to see Jesus? Three? Can I tell you a secret? Those people out there don't know this, but we don't really know how many came. We only know that there were three gifts. There was gold and frankincense and myrrh. So we don't really know how many people came, right? We never know how many people are going to come to see Jesus. We never know how many people are going to come to know more of who Jesus is. We're never going to know how many people will quietly listen and hear about this baby born in the manger. And so today, we're not concerned about all the details. We're concerned, stop. We're concerned about knowing Jesus Christ and recognizing Jesus Christ. We're concerned today with knowing that Jesus has been born and that as the wise men came and brought their gifts to him, so we come and we bring our gifts. And that main gift that we bring is ourselves and our willingness to listen and to do what he calls us to do, okay? So today, as we consider Epiphany, as we consider the wise men, let's consider how we can be wise and how we can come and follow Jesus like they did, okay? All right, let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again so very much for this day, for your love and your grace. Lord, we thank you for the testimony of the wise men who came to see Jesus, who came to see this child born in the manger, this child whom the star led them to see. We pray that as we continue to follow Jesus, that we may bring the gift of ourselves to him as the wise men brought the gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Lord, we love you, we thank you, we praise you, and we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you all can go with Miss Joyce down to Children's Church. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. Over the course of the next several weeks, we're going to spend our time on one verse. Every time I get a new Bible, the very first thing I do is I turn to John chapter 1 and I underline what has been my favorite verse since eighth grade. I don't know why it became my favorite verse. But as I learn more about it, and as I study more about it, and as I see more about what it says, I grow to love it more and more. John chapter 1, verse 14 is my favorite scripture passage in all of scripture. And I know what you're thinking. You're not supposed to have favorites, but I do. And John 1, 14 is it. I have favorite congregation members as well, but I'm not going to talk about them today. Let us hear now from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God in the beginning. Everything came into being through the Word, and without the Word, nothing came into being. What came into being through the Word was life, and the life was the light for all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not extinguish the light. A man named John was sent from God. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him everyone would believe in the light. He himself was not the light, but his mission was to testify concerning the light. The true light that shines on all people was coming into the world. The light was in the world, and the world came into being through the light, but the world did not recognize the light. The light came to his own people, and his own people did not welcome him. But those who did welcome him, those who believed in his name, he authorized to become God's children, born not from blood, nor from human desire or passion, but born from God. The Word became flesh and made his home among us. We have seen his glory, glory like that of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified about him, crying out, "This is the one of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is greater than me, because he existed before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. As the law was given through Moses, so grace and truth came into being through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. God, the only Son, who is at the Father's side, has made God known." This is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again so very much for this day that you've given to us, for this new year that is before us, filled with possibilities and opportunities for us to share your love and grace with others. We pray that you would be with the words you have given me this morning. May they be yours and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand. And may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your call upon us. And we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. The opening words in John's gospel are very similar to the opening words in Genesis. In the beginning. Now, Genesis is very much concerned with the world that was created, the things that were created, the people that were created, the aspects of creation. And John chapter 1 is very concerned with the Creator, the one who created, the one through whom creation came into existence. The word "word," which we know to be Jesus, occurs 8 times. In these first 18 verses, and the word "light" occurs 12 times. Both of them are in reference to Jesus Christ. Both of them are in reference to the incarnation of who Jesus is and who God claims to be through Jesus in his earthly ministry. And so in these 18 verses, we have 20 different references to Jesus Christ. His Word and light. The Word of God and the light of God. And the Word came through the light and all the created order. The Word spoken, however, also entered the created order through flesh, what we know as the incarnation. And this is vital to our faith. Because if Jesus did not come in the flesh, then that means he did not die in the flesh. And if he did not die, then he did not rise again. And we all know what Paul says about that. If that didn't happen, then we are to be pitied more than most. But I think God knew that the Word wasn't enough. It needed flesh. There needed to be action associated with it so that the Word might become complete. And we see here that the Word became flesh and made his home among us. He chose to dwell with us. You see, the Word was not content to remain merely spoken from a distance. The light was not content to remain seen only from a distance, but to be brought up close, to be with us in our midst. The Word and the light do no good in isolation. It needs to be heard. It needs to be seen. If we speak about the Word, the implication is that a word is useless unless it is spoken to someone else. When we think of light, light is not useful, if it is not lighting someone's way, if it is not bringing warmth, if it is not there to be seen. The word and the light need to be seen, and they need to be heard. And this happens in community. This happens when we are together, when we are with God. The Word became flesh so that the Word of God might always have a presence on earth. And this is important so that God's work would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because if His Word is not done on earth as it is in heaven, if His light is not shown on earth as it is in heaven, then we would have no knowledge of who God is. We would have no sense of our purpose as followers of God. The Word that has become flesh has lived. This Word has healed. It has taught. This Word has died and risen again. And this Word has ascended. And because this Word has ascended, the Holy Spirit has come, that we may continue to be the incarnation of Jesus Christ, that we may continue to be the flesh of Christ, serving and sharing the love of God to the world. You see, the Word of God, the light of God, has not left us, but is now lived and illuminated by us in the flesh. The Word did not merely become flesh once, but it continues to be made flesh every time someone is born. And every time someone is born anew and born again, the Word is made flesh through the life and the grace of God in that person. The flesh of Jesus sits before us here today on this table, reminding us of God's willingness to walk a mile in our shoes, with the expectation that we would walk as the Holy Spirit guides and directs us. One of the things I love most about Jesus is that He came to see what this human experience was all about. He said, "You know what? These guys keep making poor decisions. Let me see if I can figure out why." And He came, and He lived that perfect life to set the example for us and to show us that it could be done if we would be faithful. As Christians, ours is the task of shining the light of the Word on all of creation so that others may receive that Word. Does anyone know what the word Christian means? It means little Christ. We are to be little Christs, little examples, little word bearers, little light bearers. Why does the acolyte bring the light in? To remind us of our task. Why does the acolyte take the light out? To remind us of our task. Why does the acolyte not light the rest of the church on fire? By God's grace. Joel said just before we were lighting the candle, "I don't want to set the church on fire." I said, "Then don't." "Then don't. It's your choice and yours alone." The Word took on flesh so that we might know what it looks like and what it means to be God's Word and light bearers on earth, so that we might know what it means to be like God on earth, that we might bring hope and peace and joy and love to those that we encounter. The Word became flesh so that He might make His home among us, so that He might be here among us. If you'll remember, when we looked at Matthew last month, we considered that the book begins and ends reminding us that Jesus is with us. He is Emmanuel. He is present. And this verse simply continues to tell that story. Some translate the word lived among us as dwelt among us, or tented, or pitched His tent, or tabernacled. We might even say that He templed or churched or sanctuaried with us. He came to be with us. He pitched his tents. And of course, we think back to the tabernacle that the Israelites had as they wandered around the wilderness. We think back to the temple, God's presence for the Christians in Jesus' time. We think now of this place when we gather together to worship in this way. This is how Jesus came to be with us. And who is inside this building but little Christs gathered together? The Word, the light made flesh. So that when we leave this place, we might bring grace and love to those we encounter. And as the Holy Spirit resides within our very hearts, we become the tabernacle of Jesus, carrying the Word and the light out into the world, bearing witness of the things that we have seen and the things that we have heard through the Word and through the light. The Word is still flesh today, but only if we will allow it. That's the contingency that's there. The Word of Jesus Christ, the light of Jesus Christ, will be flesh if we allow it. So will we allow it? Will we allow this Word and this light to lead and guide us in the way that Jesus would have us to go, to do the things and to be the people He has called us to be? We see today in Epiphany the light that led the Magi to the Word. They brought gifts to the child in order to honor this historic mingling of heaven and earth, this recognition of something very great taking place. And we, in similar fashion, come bringing gifts to this child as well. Not just through our tithes and offerings, but through our service and our willingness to do. We bring our very selves to Him, asking that He would show us the way to go, that He would speak to us the Word, that He would show us the light and help us to follow that. When we come to this table today, when we come to this table every month, we remember the faith of the Magi who came to see something that they had just heard about and wanted to see for themselves. And we also remember the love of the Word made flesh. The Word came. The baby Christ was born so that His body might be broken and His blood might be spilled, so that we might be set free. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us because we continue to break God's Word through sin. And when the Word is broken, the light of God comes shining through to make us whole. And I hope and pray this morning and always that we would remember that when we break the Word, the light of Christ is there to illumine us, to help us to see, to help us to know, to give us that opportunity for repentance and that opportunity to receive God's grace anew. That is why we come. That is why this table is set before us, so that we may have life and that we may have life everlasting. Amen and amen. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we thank You again this day for Your Word, for Your light. It was no mere accident, Lord, but everything You have done has been intentional and has been for our salvation and for the reconciliation of this world to You. We know and trust this day that as we come to Your table, we come as those invited, as those for whom this table was set. And we know and trust that at this table You will meet us, You will remind us of Your great love, and You will give us the opportunity to show that love to others. And we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. The table has been set before us. I'll ask you to join with me as we consider.